Oma jnanati mirandasya jnananjana chalakkaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shri mate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste sarasvati deve Gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyade shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from chapter 14 of chapter 7 in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Activities of King Bharata. It is the last verse of the chapter, it's verse number 14. It's a very beautiful verse. This is the prayer that every morning Maharaj Bharata, the great devotee king who was very advanced in devotional service, in the previous verses it is described that he had achieved the level of Baba Bhakti, Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, a completely purified soul, very advanced person. And he was singing as part of his sadhana. Every day we'll sing this particular verse. We will read first the translation so that when we sing it, we can meditate on the meaning of the verse. Pararaja means beyond the mode of passion, that is situated in the pure mode of goodness. Savitu of the one who illuminates the whole universe. Jata Veda, from which all the devotees' desires are fulfilled. Devasya of the Lord. Bharga, the self-effulgence. Manasa, simply by contemplating. Idam, this universe, Jajana, created, Suretasa, by spiritual potency, Ada, this created world, Punak, again, Avishya, entering, Chaste, sees or maintains, Hamsam, the living entity. Gridranam, desiring for material enjoyment. Narishat, to the intelligence. Ringiram, to one who gives motion. Imaha, let me offer my obeisances. The full translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the super soul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he's maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Parurajatsaviturjatavedo. Devasya bhargo manasedam jachana. Sureta sada punaravishya chaste. Hamsam gritranam narishat ringiram mima. The translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the super soul. And by virtue of his different potencies, he's maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayana, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as the super soul, and he gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Riddhi Sannivishto. I am sitting in everyone's heart. As the super soul, the Lord enters the hearts of all living entities. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam, he enters the universe and the atom as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity of the sun is worshipped by this mantra. Dhyeya sada savitri mandala madhyavarti narayana sarasijasana samnivishtaha. Narayana sits on his lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayana, just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayana, within the sun, is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayana should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or the Rig Mantra. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of King Bharata. Some days ago, Dinadayal Prabhu was speaking about role models. I wasn't here, but I knew that class took place, and I got some positive feedback from it. Role models is something that every society needs in order to function. Whatever those role models are, every society needs someone to look up to in order to develop certain values and certain ways of behavior, ethical codes, how we deal with each other, how we deal with nature, how we deal with the universe. Role models are necessary. If the role model is someone very materialistic, then the people who follow that that particular role model also naturally become materialistic. If the role model is a person very generous, his or her followers will become generous people. So this is the natural system created by Krishna, by God. This is how nature functions. We always need somebody to be looking up to. Recently, I attended this meeting of yogis in Bangalore. There were many prominent yoga teachers present. It was a conference assembled with the purpose of declaring the World Yoga Day. All the yoga teachers who were present signed a manifesto that the 21st of June is declared the World Yoga Day for the benefit of the world, for the peace of the world. Of course, now we have to see if everybody is going to be consistent with what they signed or what we signed. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was there. He also signed. So one of the prominent yogis in India, very popular now, is Ramdev Baba. And the story, I don't know how accurate it is, but this is a story I heard, that he was kind of abandoned by the parents. He had a difficult birth, but then he grew in the forest with yogis. And actually he had some physical deficiency. He couldn't function properly, even at the physical level. But because of the association of the yogis, now he has become a very prominent yogi, even feared by politicians. He was doing a fasting not long ago in order to fight corruption, because in India, as you know, there is a great amount of corruption. People, the government accept bribes. I mean the government, not the government. I don't mean the government. Some people with governmental post, to be more precise. And what I was told is that 20%, if there is a big deal in terms of a big amount of money is being paid for a particular project, and there are taxes, so 20% of the cost of that particular project, you can imagine how many millions of euros that is, how many crores of rupees, to use the Indian currency. 20% of that money is given as gifts to the people who have influential positions. So now this Baba, he was protesting, he was fasting for 3 weeks, like Mahatma Gandhi did in Of course, Srila Prabhupada, we read in Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada will not approve fasting for political purposes. Fasting should be offered, should be done for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. That's the idea of fasting. Fasting, for example, in Ekadashi, we do it for developing, for engaging more time in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, to give less attention to the bodily demands in order to focus on God. That's the purpose of fasting. But anyway, here we have different role models in India. The corrupt people with leadership positions who accept bribes, they are not satisfied with the money they are getting, which is not small. So this is one defective role model. And then we have a role model of some leaders who are asking stop corruption. And then he's saying, to make a statement, he's saying, I fast. Until you stop, until you show a proper behavior, achar, the leader should be acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. If someone is not able to teach by example, does not have a right to accept a leadership position. And if that person presumptuously does it, will have to pay. The bill will be big, will not be a small bill. This is the law of nature. These are the laws of karma, the laws of dharma. So here we have, in this chapter, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, a highly elevated exemplary role model, Maharaj Bharata. He was a great king, great leader, very dear by all his people, to the extent that planet Earth, according to Srila Prabhupada's purpose and other parts in scripture, the previously was named Ajanabha to honor Maharaj Nabi, the ancestor of Maharaj Bharata, and previous ancestor, the father actually of Maharaj Rishabhadev, who was also a very great king. The ruling of Bharata Maharaj was so great that even up to today, in Sanskrit terms, the term Bharata, Bharata Varsha, is used to refer to the earth planet, to honor Maharaj Bharata, the son of Maharaj Rishabhadev. So this gives us an idea of how dear he was to the citizens. Naturally, a good leader becomes dear, is very dear to the citizens. They don't want him out. They don't want even to dream, to think what will happen in the kingdom without such a leader. What will be Radha Desh without Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu? It's difficult to imagine, isn't it? So it's when a leader is doing properly his service to the members of the country, the community, the group of people who are working together, inspired by such a leader, then naturally everyone wants the leader to continue. This is very natural. Because the leader is serving. The leader is not exploiting. When somebody exploits, then people protest. Like this thing now, in so many countries around the world. In Egypt, all this protest. People are not happy because there is exploitation. So Maharaj Bharata was such a high example. And he was such a leader in terms of practical, we could say, material ruling, material government, and also in terms of spiritual qualification. In Nectar of Devotion it is described, quoting a later section of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Maharaj Bharata, even though he was so dear by all the citizens, at some point he became so absorbed in spiritual consciousness. After fulfilling his duties as a king, he decided to move on. And he gave the kingdom, the rule of the kingdom, to his son. And he retired to the forest. And it is described, he was so detached, although he had so many followers, he was so famous. Like, for example, we see many leaders nowadays, and especially in countries where there is like a kind of dictatorship in so many countries around the world still, this exists in many, all these revolutions in the Arabic countries have been caused because people were fed up from tyrant leaders. If the leaders were protecting the people, they would not protest like that. But if they saw the leader, he was living in great opulence and they were living in misery without having to eat and being tortured and mistreated, and then they saw through the media, through internet, how people were living elsewhere, they said, we don't take this anymore. When everything is lost, you can do anything. You don't mind being punished, being violently attacked. Everything is lost. The Spanish saying is, this is a popular saying, de perdidos al río. The meaning is, when you are lost, you jump into the river. You don't mind. If you are hungry, you are losing everything, you can do it. It doesn't matter. You can, if they kill you or they mistreat you, everything is lost already. But in the case of Maharaj Bharata, he had everything, and the point I wanted to make is that these tyrant leaders, even though the whole world, their own people are telling them, get out of here, we don't want you anymore, the whole world is telling them, other leaders of the world are telling, please move on, move in a decent way, but still they want to be there until death. Many times very old people, meaning 75 plus, 80 years old, until the end, trying to control, trying to rule others. But in the case of Maharaj Bharata, even though he had so many followers, so much opulence, we can say the world was at his feet. But he voluntarily, he abandoned the kingdom, the throne, and retired to the forest to practice bhakti yoga, to practice meditation and service to the Supreme Lord. And he abandoned all these things, his fame, his kingdom, his family, his reputation, as if as a person goes to answer the calls of nature. He abandoned it without, in a very pleasing way, feeling very detached from what he was giving up. When nature calls us, we feel very relieved, isn't it? We feel, I'm very, very relieved now. There is a story that Srila Prabhupada tells of Gopal Ban. There was once, in one occasion, the queen gave deliver a child, and the king was very happy, and he wanted to share this with his friend, who was Gopal Ban was his humorist. He used to a jester, and he used to cheer up the king. Sometimes the leader also has sometimes headaches and has to experience the sorrow of the people or deal with big problems within the kingdom. Like now, all the European leaders, political leaders, they are assembled trying to save the euro. We don't know for how long. I don't want to make it very dramatic, but this is what sometimes they say in between the lines. We don't know for how long we will have the euro. We were so proud of our euro, and now it's shaking. Maybe we will have again Belgian francs and pesetas. I'm from Spain. The British, they were very smart, and they kept the pound just in case. They didn't trust such an initiative. So anyway, it's a big problem. You can see sometimes the pictures of the leaders, it's a big burden on the shoulders. If you see Mrs. Angela Merkel, the German leader who is strong with, you can see she's carrying a big burden on her shoulders. Everyone is looking at Germany, please help us, please do something, your economy is good. Anyway, Gopal Ban, he was cheering up. So if these leaders need some type of someone who makes them feel happy and tells jokes, and also someone with whom they can share their happiness and their distress. So the king went to share his happiness with Gopal, his jester. And he said, "My wife delivered a child." And it seems that Gopal was distracted by something else and didn't express much happiness about it. And then the king said, "You don't look happy. How do you feel? What's going on for you?" And then he said, "I feel like going to the toilet." Sorry about that, but this is the story how it was. We're in the temple, but these things happen. Even sometimes we're in the temple and we have to go to the toilet. That's life. So once I was upset, one of the students went out. I thought he was leaving the class in the middle, and then I reprimanded him, "You should stay in class." And he said, "Sorry, nature was calling me." I thought, so bad was my class? So something like that, the king thought that so bad are my news that you feel like going to the toilet. He felt really offended to the point that for several days he was not talking to the jester. So then one day, this happened for quite a few days, so Gopal was taking the king to the other side of the river on a boat. So he was taking him, and suddenly, by the arrangement of providence, the calls of nature were I don't know if in India you ever had such an experience. You are in Parikrama, and sometimes there is devotees' experience. In India, it's typical. Depends what you eat or what you drink. You may become very friendly with the calls of nature, to put it mildly. And then you have to go many times. So something like that was happening to the king. And he was telling Gopal, please go to the shore, quickly. Go to the shore. And then Gopal was going slowly, taking his time. And the king, please go, run, please go. Finally, they reached the shore. The king ran into the bushes, and then he came back. And Gopal asked him, Your Majesty, how do you feel? I feel very relieved, very happy. And then he said, I was feeling, when you asked me that day, how I was feeling was nothing against your child. I like very much that you, I'm very happy that your wife delivered a child, that we have a new prince. But it was just that I was feeling like you were feeling a few minutes ago. So this is we feel relief. So similarly, Maharaj Bharata, he felt relief by abandoning all the material possessions. So he's a great role model in many ways, a role model from whom we can learn. And in today's verse, we have listened to a prayer he was reciting. It was a prayer related to the Rig Veda. Many times we think of the Rig Veda as a Veda related to material benefit. But actually in the Rig Veda we find several verses speaking about Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also in deity worship, there is one verse the Pujaris sing in the beginning, Vishnu Smaranam. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadapashyanti Surayo Divivachakshuratatam Tat Vipraso Vipanjavo. How is it? Yagrivam sa samindate vishnur yat paramam padam. And this refers to how the great sages, they look up to the param padam, the supreme abode of the Lord, of Vishnu. And they are following the route of the sun. The sun is connected with God. In Vedic culture and all the, also in ancient traditions, everybody was looking up to the sun because the sun is source of life. Can anybody live without the energy of the sun? We need the sun, we need water, we need air, all the gifts of nature, we need them very much. And all these gifts are not created by the intelligent, quote intelligent, human beings. These gifts are given by Narayana, by the Supreme Lord. Narayana means the shelter or the maintainer of all the Naras, of all the living beings. So this is God. He's giving everything. The Upanishads describe Nityo Nityanam Chetanash Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman, that the Supreme Lord, He is giving. There are many eternal living beings, and among those eternal living beings, there is one eternal living being, one supreme being, who is providing through his energies for the benefit of the rest of living beings. So the Vedas describe that the supreme truth, the supreme being, is both transcendent, he's beyond this material world, and he resides in that abode, that supreme abode, Parampadam, towards which the great sages are looking up, meditating on. He resides there, transcend in his transcendental position, but also the Lord is immanent. Immanent means within everything. He's present in everyone, within every living being, and within every object, within every creation of nature. And this is, he's doing it through, in many different ways, as described here, as the super soul. The supreme self, like the sun, is connected to every living being. The sun is one, but every living being has a relationship with the sun. When we feel cold, we go to the sun for shelter, for heat. So similarly, when we feel lacking in our lives, we go to God. Even atheists, people who claim to be atheists for life, sometimes when it comes the time of difficulty, of death, of illness, old age, they go to God for shelter. Because this is natural. It's like time to stop breathing. Some 1 week ago I had hiccups. I was having hiccups, I couldn't stop it. I was thinking, we think we are so great, and I cannot even control hiccups. I will be speaking like now, and oop, and Krishna says, oop. So, we cannot control anything. We need the help, higher help. Bhakta Mitchell helped me. Different devotees, Yamashami Prabhu also provided medicine. Bhakta Mitchell did his, with his hands. The next morning, no hiccups. He was praying. The therapy was praying to Krishna. Praying to Krishna, praying. Getting help from, we need help from higher power. We cannot do it by ourselves. Whatever we do in life, we need the help of God. So, and sometimes one devotee was telling me that his father or grandfather, he was an atheist, he was speaking bad, strongly against God, in very bad way. But when it came the time of, he was coming to the end, he asked for a priest to come. He wanted to beg for help because he saw, I cannot do anything. So whatever we are able to do is by the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna is present as a super soul like the sun. The sun has a relationship with each and every person, each and every living being. So also the Lord is within each and every soul. And he's also present through his energies, in the water, in the sunlight, in the air, in everything we have. So Maharaj Bharata in this verse, in today's verse, and we can read it again, he's teaching us how to, as a role model, how to meditate. He was doing this meditation every day. This was his prayer every morning at sunrise. And this was the meditation he was conducting throughout his whole day. he will remember the Lord in this way. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. So he was saying how the Lord helps everyone who comes to him. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the super soul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. So he's not only maintaining devotees, he's maintaining also anybody, everyone. Even the elephant needs so much food, also food is supplied for the elephant. This is the mercy of God. And then he concludes, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence." He gives us intelligence. Whatever, when we don't know what to do, we pray to Krishna, and he gives intelligence. Buddhir buddhimatam asmi, Krishna says. Buddhir, intelligence. Buddhimatam asmi. I am the giver of intelligence. I am intelligence in those who are intelligent. Paurusham Nrishu, I am ability in human being. The human being is able to do something because Krishna is ability. He is giving that. Sarvasya chaham redisa nivishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport that Krishna says, I am the source of forgetfulness, remembrance, and intelligence. So, if Krishna doesn't want, we cannot remember. No matter how hard we try, we cannot remember. And if Krishna gives us the potency, we can remember everything very easily, very quickly. So he is actually the Surya Narayana, the Supreme Person of the Sun, as described in this section. He is present in the Sun. The Sun is giving light, is giving life, because Krishna is present in the Sun as Narayana. And we meditate on that Supreme Lord, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. We meditate on him and on his effulgence, his divine effulgence, by his mercy. And by meditating on him, we become spiritually enlivened, spiritually enthused. And this is the meaning of the Gayatri mantras, which Maharaj Bharata was reciting, and similar mantras as the one we sang today. If you like to ask questions or make comments, please do so. Yes, your point is very valid that we need also to endeavor. We endeavor with whatever energy Krishna gives us, so we give it back to him and we do our best, but knowing that he is the giver of that potency. He does it. Sometimes we are able to do, sometimes we're not able to do. Ultimately, he is the doer. So it is a matter, we don't stop acting, and actually, as a matter of fact, devotees, bhakti yogis, karma yogis, are able to work harder than a materialist. How hard Srila Prabhupada was working. Many times devotees, they don't care about payment. They just work for Krishna. Work to serve Krishna and to serve Krishna's parts and parcels. Krishna's devotees, Krishna's jivas, Krishna's souls. And they can work very, very hard. In that sense, there is no limit to how much energy a devotee can use for the service of Krishna. But at the same time, while using the energy, the devotee knows that at any time Krishna is giving the energy, sometimes Krishna gives big potency, sometimes Krishna reduces potency. Like the electricity power, sometimes something happens. Even here in Europe, in Radhades, there is rain, something happens, and the electric power is cut off. For some time, then it comes back. So it doesn't matter, even if we pay the bills, sometimes the power is cut off by higher forces. So sometimes Krishna may have a plan, a different plan than our plan, and as we endeavor to serve Krishna to the best of our ability, making the best plans for the pleasure of Krishna and for the benefit of others, but yet sometimes there is a higher plan and Krishna may say, no, I need you elsewhere, and then we die. And our friends, our fellow devotees, I mean fellow devotee friends, they cry. But actually Krishna, he had a different plan. And many times we don't understand. Even Sri Ramanujacharya, when Sri Yamunacharya, his guru, was taken away by Krishna, he was very upset. He went to the deity of Varadaraj, and he didn't want to know anything with him. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was upset. It's difficult to understand the feelings. Normally a devotee will accept the will of the Lord. But at that moment, Sri Ramanujacharya, he expressed, this Lord is very cruel. He has taken my master from me. That was his strong feeling at the moment. But still the Lord, he has plans. Sometimes he may do something. This is something extreme, death. Sometimes he may just give us hiccups. And then we cannot do many things. So with the hiccups, we have to relax. Okay, take it easy, slow down. Krishna makes us feel very tired. So Krishna's nature, material nature is Krishna's nature, is very wise and will, if we don't stop when we need to stop, then she will make us stop. And this is actually Krishna's mercy. So in many ways, Krishna is acting. But Mother Yavadra is right that we need to also endeavor to do our share. We are servants, so the servant should do his offering. Otherwise, what type of servant he or she is? Any other comment, questions? According to Prabhupada's purport, he's talking about an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not a jiva. He's Narayana. He's the shelter of jivas. It's a particular expansion which resides in the sun. So therefore, sometimes great sages, they go to the sun. And when they go to the sun, they're actually connecting with Surya Narayana. Srila Prabhupada also explains that the sun emanates from the Brahma Jyoti, the energy of the sun is one glimpse of the Brahma Jyoti. And the Brahma Jyoti is the origin of all the universes. This is explained in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and in Brahma Samhita. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagatanda kotim koti swachesha vasudadi vibhuti vinnam. So this is coming from the Lord Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, from Govinda. But his prabha, his light, Brahma Jyoti, is the source of all the universes. So everything is emanating from the Lord, and the sun is very much connected to the Lord's energy, and therefore Surya Narayan also resides in the sun. Any other questions, comments? The mantra should be received from a proper guru. That's what Shastra says. Sampradaya vihinaye mantaste nishpala mataha. If the mantra is not received from the guru, it will not produce the desired effect. This is what Padma Purana says. Because with the mantra is not just the external syllables, but the mantra is also the meaning of the mantra. Mantrartha chintanam. In practicing japa, or can be Gayatri Mantra japa in this case, mantrartha chintanam. One should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. If the meaning of the mantra is not given, the mantra is empty. It's not real mantra. There is no power of liberation. Like sometimes now we have yogis and making all kinds of funny, modern yogis, not very serious, making all kinds of funny statements, like, which are not supported by Shastra, by the scripture, by the text compiled by the great rishis, the great sages, in the cyclic succession coming from God. And sometimes they say like all kinds of explanations, very ha, hi, ho, and all these kinds of things. I saw some of this while in India also. The mantra has a meaning. Like for example, Bhargo. Here we have the explanation, Bhargo devasya dhimahi. Devasya Bhargo. This is part of the Gayatri Mantra. And Bhargo means the divine effulgence, the divine light of God. Some Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas have explained Bhargo as Srimati Radharani. Because Srimati Radharani is the divine, the most dear effulgence of the Lord. She is golden. This is in Satchinandana Swami Maharaja's book on Gayatri. He gives the references. So this is an explanation. So when there is meditation given by the guru, the meaning of the mantra, the meditation becomes very deep, very profound. But if nobody explains the meaning, then the mantra is not complete. Or if we think that the meaning is something else, that I am God and I am God in a misconceived way. We are God in a certain way. We are part of God. In that sense, we are God. We are Atma. Atma is part of the Paramatma. So in that sense, we are God. But we are not God in the misconceived way that we, the world is meant for our enjoyment and for our exploitation. In that sense, we are not God. The world is meant to be used in the service of God. And we are meant to use the world in the service of God. So unless the Guru gives the proper meditation in meditating on the Gayatri Mantra, then the mantra will not produce proper effect. Therefore, the Padma Purana, in order to play safe, gives the instruction, Sat Karmani Puno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada Avaishnava Gurur Nasyat Vaishnavas Vapacho Guru. That even if someone is coming from a Brahmana family who is fully accomplished in mantras, the technical pronunciation of the hymns, the Vedic hymns, the Rig Veda, and so on, mantra, tantra, all the different rituals, methods. But if that person is not Vaishnava, if that person is not offering everything to God as service, and is putting himself at the center, then that person should not be accepted as guru. But a person who is coming even from a family who were eating dog meat, if that person has become a Vaishnava, a fully dedicated servant of God, and who offers everything with devotion to God, that person deserves to be accepted as guru. So that principle, that's the big difference. Sometimes there are schools which mix. They say, okay, there are yata mata tata pata. All the paths go to the same goal. Karma, jnana, bhakti, everything is one, everything is the same. Not exactly. Krishna doesn't say that in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhakti aman abhijanati javanjas chasmi tatvataha. That in order to know, Krishna says, to know me, truly know me, bhakti, devotion, divine love is required. Otherwise, we cannot know God. Jnana, knowledge without devotion, is incomplete. Recently in this, and this is not just something, okay, we belong to the Bhakti school, and therefore we speak like that. Okay, you could say, yes, we are biased, and we are not ashamed to be biased in this way. But also, during the conference, this yoga conference, His Holiness Iyengarji, the guru of the Iyengar Yoga, during his keynote speech in the beginning, he said that many people, they think that because they do a few asanas and they breathe, they are doing yoga. But actually, yoga without Ishvara Pranidhanat, without service to God, without devotion to God, is not yoga. So even yogis who are accomplishing yoga, truly accomplished, they know that without service to God, yoga is not yoga. It's a shadow. It's yoga shadow. A shadow of yoga. So that connection with the Supreme is essential in order to become oneself established in yoga. Otherwise, it is not yoga. Yoga means union, unity. If the source with whom we want to unite is not there, then how we can talk about yoga? If we talk about love, if there is not a beloved person, how can I speak about love? So yoga means love, means connecting. Any last point, last 2 points, 1 and 2. Well, there seems to be a difference between the sun god and the Surya Narayana. The sun god is a servant of Surya Narayana, who resides in the sun planet. Like we read in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I gave this knowledge to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan gave it to Vaivasvata Manu, and Manu, Vaivasvata Manu, as the father of Maharaj Ikshvaku, he gave it to him, and through Maharaj Ikshvaku came to the people on the planet, on the earth planet. So Vivasvan, he received from God, he received the Gita many hundreds of thousands of years ago, about 2 million years ago or so. So receiving this divine message, he was offering service to Narayana. Otherwise, what type of disciplic succession? He's a devotee. Devotee of whom? Devotee of Surya Narayana. So there is a difference between the jiva who occupies the post of Surya and the Surya Narayana. We do not, there is no chastic evidence for this Panchopasana system, that any deity is exactly the same. Not exactly. There is the supreme deity and there are subordinate deities. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. There is Deva in capital letter and there is Deva with a small letter. Both are divine, but the small Deva depends on the big Deva. Krishna is known as Deva Deva Jagatpate, God of Gods, Lord of the Universe. Last point. Well, the Guru may, in some cases, the Guru, he is giving his realization. So the Guru has Paramatma realization or Brahman realization. So the disciple can, by the grace of the Guru, can get access to that. So it's not that. It's black or white. There may be things in the middle. And also from our side, we may have a very good Guru, a pure devotee of the Lord, but if we don't use the opportunity properly, if we don't pay attention to the mantra the Guru is given, then we will not get the benefit either. So it's also for us that we need to properly chant the mantras properly with attention and with the devotional spirit. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavad.
Explain the whole devotion to God is manifest in the seva system. Did Iyengar also explain how this devotion to God is